Hello!
Radio Goo Goo, Radio Gaga.
What up?
What's going on?
What is that picture you sent me?
Those, oh, my friend. You know what caprese salad is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, for the listener, if they don't, it's tomato, mozzarella cheese, and spinach with balsamic vinegar. As you well know, I am like, I have to be a good boy and eat low carb, low sugar. That's what I'm on right now. So I have to be a good boy. So I'm not really worried about my fats, but I'm worried about certain things.
Hmm.
So I found some, dude, I don't know if you ever had Gilbert sausage before.
I don't think so.
Okay, we're starting like semi-pinky up right now, just to let you know. Artesian sausage. But it's turkey sausage, which, you know, hey, that's I really can't tell the difference.
No, it's fine. I've had,
as long as it's seasoned well, good.
That's the thing. The sausage is about the seasoning, not about the meat.
Hell yeah. Yep. Like, I would take bison. I would take any low-fat type meat, just as long as it's seasoned good. Well, this Gilbert sausage is turkey sausage, but it's a caprese turkey sausage. So there's big bits of like spinach and mozzarella in there, as well as tomato. It's just freaking amazing. So I put some in. So all I have to do is microwave it, but I don't want to. Pro tip. You don't take sausage out of the damn, cause it's an Italian sausage. It's not a breakfast sausage, eat it for breakfast, but you don't take it out of its container and microwave that.
Mm.
You gotta crust it up a little. You gotta put a little color on that.
Dude, I'm with you. Don't be a fucking animal.
Right.
We're civilized people here.
The picture I sent you, I overcooked them by about 3 minutes.
So they look good, dude.
Dude, there's some nice char on it. And my wife's like, you know, hey, make sure you have a couple in the morning for your, you know, breakfast along with some egg whites.
Mm.
And I'm like, I could eat 2 right now. I'm like, oh my God, they smell so good. And man, do they look good.
Look, here's the thing. When you have like a sausage or a steak or, I mean, really like any kind of red meat and sausage. Or like bacon, you want some char, you know what I'm saying? Cause the thing is, like red meat and like those kind of meats, like sausage and bacon, they're very high in fat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, like fat tastes delicious when it's rendered. And if you want to render it properly, you want a little bit of char to get that softness.
Yeah. And then you're getting rid of a little bit of the fat as well.
Yeah.
You render it out.
You get it. That's what we do this podcast.
Oh, but brother, I'm telling you, these sausage, they're bangers. They are so good.
So can I buy these in a store?
So I got them at Costco, dude.
Oh, really?
It was like, and they're all individually wrapped, which blew my mind because it's like, now I'm not wasting anything. I threw them up in the freezer. It's like a pack of 20. Threw them right up in the freezer. And it was like, you just take down a few, but I would say 20 sausages, it might have been $14.
Mm.
Like way less if I would have just went to a store and bought them. But also I want to ask you, if you know of any good names that I should be looking out for regarding like sausages, because I think that's, you know, I'm sort of doing sausage as breakfast sausage.
No, I can't say I do, Nick. Here's the thing. We don't eat a lot of sausage in the house. The reason being, my wife hates sausage.
What?
Yeah.
What's wrong with her?
I don't know.
You put a little fig on that and it's delicious.
Well, she also doesn't eat figs anymore because I ruined that for her. So there's that. But, we don't eat sausage. Like I might get away with doing like a kielbasa sausage.
Hell yeah. Dude, you don't think I'm looking forward to that in the summer? Oh man. And the one crazy thing, okay, like all my like cholesterol is high, but I can't worry about that because right now it's like I have to worry about sugar. So everything is a little elevated except for my sodium.
Mm.
So it's like, so well,
load up on that bacon, so, bro.
Yeah, preserved meat, sign meat, like check and check. And Liz is like, you are going to get so sick of eating not the same thing, but just like another sausage or another egg. And I'm like, baby, I am never going to get sick of sausages and eggs.
I hear that.
No worries there.
Uh-huh.
Like, is it tough to give up pancakes or especially with the holidays coming around? Like, this is the first time since I've been able to chew that I haven't been able to have pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving.
Mm.
And that freaking kills me. And of course, like, my dad's just like, well, just have a little sliver. And it's like, do you understand this is a slippery slope and I'm a weak man? So the last thing I want to even do is like tempt the tummy.
Look, I'm 100% so like, with you.
No.
Cause here's the thing.
I could have three helpings of turkey and no one's going to blink an eye.
Yeah.
Where before it's like you go over two helpings of turkey and they're like, hey, fatty, what are you doing over there? You know, it's like, I'm good. I'm
uh-huh,
good.
Uh-huh. So
retrain the brain.
As you know, I'm not very big on sweets. I don't like sweet stuff.
Correct.
In fact, apparently I'm psychotic because I like to drink my coffee black. I don't like creaming my coffee. I don't know if you heard about this. There's a new study that apparently if you drink black coffee, you have like psychopathic and narcissistic tendencies. Which,
check and check.
I was going to say check and check. Totally me. I'm a fucking psycho narcissist. So fuck you. I still like my coffee black because it's delicious.
Is there anything in that study that says, people who drink black coffee also like to wear work uniforms? As you're like, damn it, they're following me. Get out of here.
Dude, I don't do this anymore because they just don't know how to do it properly. It's also very weak coffee. But when on my way to work, every day I used to swing by McDonald's, go through the drive-thru, and get a large iced coffee black, two sweetened lows. And I mean, you're talking
that's
like
a lot of sugar, dude.
Two sweetened lows for like a 36 ounce cup.
Honestly, I thought you said you put in like one of those sweeteners, like one of those syrup things.
No.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Listen, the McDonald's iced coffee is the most horrible tasting shit ever. It is sweet as hot garbage. Sweet like my balls.
Oh.
But so that's what I did. No cream. And they always like ask me like three times. Cause I'd be like, large iced coffee, black, two sweetened lows. What flavor do you want with that? No. Black, two sweetened lows. You don't want creamer? No. Black, two sweetened lows. So no creamer, just black. Yes! I just want the damn coffee with sweetener. That's all I want.
Okay, so what you're saying is you're semi-skinny. All right, pull around.
Dude, that's not Starbucks. They don't know what the fuck skinny means at McDonald's.
No, I'm saying you physically.
Oh.
Because it's always the fat people driving around like, I'll take three squirts of this and then put some caramel syrup on it. And, oh, don't forget the, like, whipped cream. It's just like, oh, my God, are you serious? Mm. Except can we go, since we're at McDonald's? Do you mind if I park it just for a second?
Oh, sure. You park wherever you want.
I was watching your daughter's Mythical Morning Peeps.
Oh, yeah.
And they had on a show that like took a flurry and did something with it. Did they make it? They did something stupid with it. But one of the guys, he took a vanilla McFlurry with nothing in it, except he goes, this is sort of like a secret menu thing. And of course, I can't have sugar. And I'm pissed that I just discovered this. He said, you ask for the apple pie to be put into the McFlurry, and they'll do it. And that thing looked good. I'm like, a hot apple pie with that caramel and like crust in there? Yes. And even my wife, who does not like garbage food, even she was like, that does sound much better than the Oreo McFlurry.
Look, I don't mind the McFlurry, but for the most part, I hate sweets. I never buy like cookies. I don't like candy bars. I don't like any of that stuff. I don't even like breakfast cereal, because breakfast cereal is so sweet. You're a savory guy. The only breakfast cereal that I will eat, there's two.
Mm.
Number one, which is actually very sweet, is Berry Berry Kix.
Jeez, that is sweet. Okay.
But, but when I was a kid, like, my parents got me a box of Berry Berry Kix when it first came out, and I thought it was the coolest looking cereal for some reason, because it was like different colors.
And it's neon.
And I ate it, and it was delicious. And so sometimes as a grown up, I've been known to buy a box of Berry Berry Kix. It's been years now.
Yeah. How many sittings before that box is done?
Oh, I can't do a whole lot, because I just can't handle the sweetness.
Like three?
Oh, no, more than that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, if you look at the side of the package, it's like serving size, one cup or a half a cup. And it's like, do you realize the size of my bowl? There must be four cups in that thing.
Oh, yeah.
And good luck if I only have one bowl of it.
Yeah. So, no, it'll take me like months to eat a box.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. What's the second one?
The second cereal that I love, don't laugh, it's Basic Four.
No, I love Basic Four.
Basic Four is fantastic. It's like that, what is it, like bran flakes or whatever? And it's got the almonds in it and the raisins and something else. I can't remember. What is it, like the yogurt bites? Is that what it is?
Yeah, no. it's like yogurt covered raisins or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's almost a candy.
Yeah.
But you know what's good with the Basic Four? Mm. There's a hint, just a hint of cinnamon. Mm. Not overpowering, just a little hint.
I could taste that. Yeah, yeah. You know what's really weird? So I went through this like super weird phase. I was on the wrestling team in high school. And I think like Basic Four had just come out like within the last couple of years of that. And, and I used to love the cereal, so I ate all the time. And of course I was in the wrestling team, so I had to cut weight. So what I would do is not drink milk, because, you know, milk, like, it does the body good. But milk is not good for you. Regardless of what the milk companies tell you, it's a fucking garbage food and you shouldn't drink it. So I used to put like a little, like a splash of orange juice in my Basic Four just to moist the bran flakes. And oh my God, was it good.
I actually thought, cause I've heard this from other people, I actually thought you were going to say I poured my coffee on the cereal.
That sounds pretty good, actually, especially in Basic Four.
Yeah, because I'm already drinking the coffee with the cereal. So I can't say I wouldn't do that, because I've also put like potato chips on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches just because I didn't want to eat the potato chips along with the sandwich. So why not add it to the sandwich?
That's what I do on my regular sandwiches.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and going back to the cereal, for me, I only dislike two cereals. All the rest I would put right into my mouth.
Mm, okay.
I have no, like sweet cereal, any kind of cereal. Sign me up. The only things that will not go in my mouth is not Frosted Mini Wheats. It's the thing that looks just like them, shredded wheats.
Oh, dude, the Frosted Shredded Mini Wheats with the strawberry on it. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
But the non-sugary, just the pillow of shredded wheat.
Yeah.
Ugh, yuck. Get that out of here. And I used to hate grape nuts. Dude, I can polish off a bag of grape nuts. Because it isn't sweet. But it still tastes like you're eating your grandparents' cereal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm-mm. The only cereal, there's two cereals I cannot eat. Like,
you better not say Captain Crunch, bitch. Maybe, or I'm hanging up right now. I'm hanging up right now.
Maybe one teaspoon and I'm done. One is Frosted Flakes and the other one is Captain Crunch.
You mother effer. No way. Dude, the captain, I sail with the captain anytime he wants me to sail. You want to go to Peanut Butter Island? I'll go Peanut Butter Island with you. Let's go. You want to hunt down some boo berries? Sign me up. I'll hunt down some boo berries with you, captain. Except I'm so pissed. Like, now I won't let myself have sweet cereal. And now all of a sudden it's like, Captain Crunch Boo Berries with only the Boo Berry. I'm like, that's the best part. Now I can have the entire bowl like that. Damn it.
But this is a sidetrack, but you should read Ahoy Comics, Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror, because there's a story in there, and the main character is Count Chocula.
Huh?
And he invites like these lords in the kingdom over for breakfast, and they have pancakes and cereal. And his guests are Lord Boo, Lord Berry.
Hilarious.
There's like a Frankenstein shows up and a couple of those. I can't remember. It was fucking hilarious. Anyways.
Yeah, that's great.
But cereal ruined my taste of sweets because I used to love sweets when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you remember this. There used to be a cereal, and I'm sure it's not like legally not allowed to be made anymore. called Kaboom. Have you ever heard of Kaboom? Okay.
Sure.
So Kaboom was like this, like, there were like little kernels, like kind of like corn poppy things, I guess. That were kind of sweet, but Kaboom was loaded in the box with little tiny marshmallows that had extra sugar in them. And so what I used to do is I would serve myself a bowl of Kaboom and just eat the marshmallows and throw out the rest of the cereal. And so after doing this for several months, I just can't eat sweets anymore. And this has been like decades, dude. I can't do sweets.
You didn't go Lucky Charms?
No, no. Kaboom was far superior to Lucky Charms.
Did they have more of a ratio of marshmallows?
I think Kaboom was basically just a box of marshmallows.
With tons of sugar for it. God.
Yeah. But see, it's weird though, right? So like going back to your Thanksgiving thing. I hate sweets. I don't eat dessert. When we go out to dinner, I never get dessert. You know, with my coffee, I don't have like a crumpet or whatever the fuck, you know? I don't fucking know. Whatever people eat with coffee and tea. I don't have any of that stuff. Like when my kids get candy, like at Halloween, for example, like I don't want any of the candy. So it just, it sits in the fucking pantry for a year and they just pick at it all year till next Halloween. I just don't like sweets, but there's two times that I have to have sweets. One is when, I don't feel like making eggs, but I have a ton of eggs and they're about to go bad. I make meringue cookies.
Ooh. Nice.
Which are very easy. It takes like 5 minutes because it's only two ingredients, sugar and egg whites. And so I love meringue cookies and I make them every so often.
You don't put like citrus zest in there?
Very rarely. Not on the cookies. If I do like if the kids ask for a pie, like a meringue pie, then I'll do lemon zest. But if I'm just like, I have too many eggs, I'm just going to make meringue. Which by the way, happens all the time in this house. We buy a lot of eggs. I told my wife we should get chickens, but there's regulations in the neighborhood when we can't have chickens.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I have to buy all my eggs. But, I mean, like, we buy the big box. It's like 5 dozen in a box.
Sheesh. Wow.
We eat a lot of eggs. And the other time that I have to have a sweet is at Thanksgiving. Because I have to have pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to have a slice of pumpkin pie. If you invite me to your house to have Thanksgiving dinner, you better have a pumpkin pie just for Martin. And then one for everybody else.
Very good. You should go to Costco and get their like 18-inch pumpkin
pie.
Dude,
that's not the same.
No, it's damn good.
It's not the same. Damn
good. It is, but it's instead of being 12 inches, it's 18. It's so gigantic. And it ain't a bad pie. I got news for you.
Really?
Yeah, the crust is definitely tastes homemade.
Mm.
Believe me. Can you doctor up even like pumpkin puree out of a can, throw some molasses in there, add a little maple syrup or whatever? Can you doctor it so it's an unbelievable pumpkin pie? Sure. But I'm just comparing it to your local grocery store, you know, and Whole Foods. I would say it stacks up to a store-bought pie, especially like a Baker Square or something like that. Yeah, it absolutely holds up.
Hmm.
And it's an 18-inch pie for like $8. It's so cheap.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. All right, I'll give this Costco pumpkin pie a try.
Hey, it's available year round.
I know.
So you don't have to wait till Thanksgiving.
Look, anyone that listens to this podcast knows that when it comes to food, I am hyper pretentious.
Yes.
And if I can make it, then I'd rather make it than buy it.
Sure.
So.
I'm trying to look at a dollar value.
No, I get it.
The price of that pie is not that expensive.
That's actually a really good deal.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if I buy an $8 18-inch pie, then I'm going to eat the $8 18-inch pie.
Hell, you know what I mean? Yeah, you are. Yep.
So, so that's not good. Cause you know, like what? I was doing really well. You know, I tried to change some of my eating habits. I was doing very well, but work gets so stressful. You know what I mean?
Amen. So, amen.
I mean, especially the last, you know, I took a couple of days off when I had surgery. And I go back and I mean, I'm working like 12 hour days, like six, seven days a week, dude.
Well, in your absence, why would they ever do any work without you?
That's
we
true.
Could just wait for Martin to be there and then he can have all of his work that should have been done while he was gone.
Well,
hey, we saved it for him.
In my absence, we apparently also lost 4 people.
Wow. Ouch.
2 of which just said, F this place, I'm out.
Wow. Damn.
So, you know, it's rough. It's rough.
Yeah. Yeah, amen.
Which I don't get it. You know, I mean, like Christmas is coming up. People don't want to work for Christmas. Like,
maybe that's the whole point. They don't want to work.
It's
kick
true.
Back for a month and a half and enjoy both holidays. Come on now.
Well, you know, they keep talking about that. What's that called? Basic income. Man, I'm gonna tell you, if they put that basic income in place, nobody's gonna work. Because I guarantee you, like 75% of people would rather be living like just at poverty level than have to put in a shit ton of hours. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So
why not make it easier for people, right?
So yeah. So it's rough because like, you know, like I'll wake up and I'm like, shit, I'm running late. And so I rush out the door and I just swing by the gas station and get like a fucking sausage biscuit and eat it on the way to work, you know?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good.
Hey, speaking of gas station food,
mm-hmm.
Does your gas stations, like the one that we have up here is Speedway.
Okay.
And
we have a Speedway.
Okay. I didn't know if you've ever had this, speaking of garbage food, because I saw like a little sign for it and I'm like, what mad scientist came up with this? It's a biscuit that's been injected with sausage gravy. Yeah.
Injected. So like, wait, is it
so
just
you want
a plain biscuit?
Yes.
So it's never been cut open?
Nope.
They inject it with gravy?
Correct.
That's pretty smart.
I know. You get your sausage and you get your biscuits and gravy without any of the mess. Because you can hold it in the little container that it comes in.
Yeah, that's pretty genius.
Never tried it. I have no clue if the quality of biscuit or gravy is any good, but I was like, damn, that's science right there.
Mm. Yeah, you know, this is not a topic we generally discuss in this podcast because we're always on task with the show. You know what I mean? We're on point, on message. We follow our notes every single time.
On brand.
On brand, absolutely. But, you know, here's the thing, Nick. There's something about, like, convenient food that is just fucking terrible.
Yeah.
You know
dog.
What I mean? Like, sure, it's convenient, right? Like, you walk in and out in 2 minutes. It tastes great.
Oh, God.
Because it's
those
just like.
Taquitos, come on now. On the rollers, ooh, Lord.
That's what I'm saying. It tastes great. They have that umami flavor to them. So you just want like, you gotta get a third taquito. You can just get two. You know, they're like two for $2, but you saved like 70 cents doing that. You know what I'm saying? So why not buy a third taquito? It's only going to cost you 30 cents more.
Right.
And then
get that 108 ounce, drink.
Yeah.
Because you know you're going to be thirsty. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you know, you get the giant cup. For $1 and then you can refill it for 50 cents every time. So why not do it? You save so much money and time. But you know what the problem is then, Nick?
Hmm.
You end up just eating egg whites and Capri sausages every single day of your life.
Thank you. Yep. When you're counting carbs, you know how much my dark beer carb-wise is right around it in a day or a meal, I should say. I should have between 30 and 40.
Mm-hmm.
And dark beer, the kind I like, starts at about 23. Mm-hmm. And can go up to 34.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even like, oh, I can have like a pretty decent size handful of nuts and a beer, and that'll be lunch or dinner.
Now, when
I can't even do that.
No, you can't. You can't. And when you say dark beer, you mean like an actual dark beer, not like a Guinness style beer.
No, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a stout or a porter.
Oh man, I do love me a stout. They're so creamy. Yeah. It's like you're eating dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, and you drink it really nice and slow, but guess what? The darker it is, it seems like the more carbs it is.
Well, yeah. It's the molasses. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. And the thing is, I don't have to worry too much about that because you are a beer connoisseur.
Mm-hmm.
I like beer. Like, I like a good beer. I'm not going to drink Natural Light or Budweiser or whatever. That's garbage.
Right.
But I mean, like, I have a good beer. Like, even the cheap ass beer at a Trader Joe's, like, that's good tasting beer.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like the red ale that they have, that's fucking good. I love, red mm-hmm. is my favorite.
Ah, gotcha.
When I was younger, I was a big stout guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I discovered red ales, I want to say like towards the end of college.
Mm.
And I had a really shitty red ale. Some commercial thing. And I was like, huh, this is really good. Cause you know what it is? For me, it's the hoppiness that gets me. The hoppier the beer, the better for me.
Then why don't you like IPAs? They're all hops.
I do like IPAs. I do like IPAs. And I do get them every so often. But for some reason, there's something about the red beer. It's like a red ale has a nice balance.
Do you like the rye? The red rye?
Red rye's okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's a little funk there in that rye. That's what makes that nice.
I do like me a little funk. But
I will say, going back to your rollers
mm-hmm.
and taquitos and garbage food,
mm-hmm.
that's what put me into having Gilbert sausage for sure.
I hear you, man.
Yeah.
I hear you. That's good. So you're doing like a keto thing.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Man. Let me tell you, keto is the best thing. It is the worst fucking thing. Like, I would say maybe the first 2 weeks.
Mm.
Cause mm-hmm. you're used to having like some kind of carb, right?
Sure.
Like you go for the biscuit or the cereal or like uh-huh. a potato, like that kind of thing. And, right. And when you can't eat that, you have to like, change your mindset a little bit.
For sure. Yeah, it's all reinventing.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, it's really fucking good. If you can tolerate just eating basically a bunch of meat all the time.
You just have to, for me, it's all retraining how I approach food and not, like, I make fun of it by saying it's the no fun diet.
Mm.
But really, what diet is fun? And
yeah.
Thank God I've been on this for almost 3 weeks.
Well, I'll tell you what diet is fun. The seafood diet. You see it and you eat it.
Yes. I love that diet. Used to be on that. But the good thing is I've finally gotten past like the sugar withdrawal headaches and stuff.
Yeah.
So the clarity of thought and having more energy has definitely shown, which is fantastic. That's very exciting.
Keto's,
you don't feel so lethargic and like, I just want to sit here in my meat sweats and just dream of cookies, you know? No.
So I got to ask you though, does your breath smell like acetone yet?
I don't think so.
Okay. So you're not there yet.
My issue is I was a big gum chewer out of habit, and I think it became an obsessive habit. And then I found out that pretty much all gum, one stick is one carb.
Yeah.
Whether there's sugar or whatever, there is still, even if it's sugarless gum, there's still alcohol sugar or sugar alcohol in it that gives it one carb per stick.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like every day I'm like, I had three pieces where I used to be polishing off like a pack of gum every other day.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've been limiting it, but like in my head, I still have that obsessive thing of, oh my God, my breath stinks. It has to stink. It feels, when I run my tongue over my mouth, it feels like it smells.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's just an obsessive thing. So I think I have to find some way to, do I bring mouthwash to work? Do I bring those like Dentine breath strips? Do I switch over to like a breath savers? Like that's the thing that I'm still trying to wrap my head around.
Mm-hmm. So you said you've been on this for how long?
Under 3 weeks.
Oh, and you're not getting the acetone breath. Interesting.
I don't think so, but how would you ever know?
Oh, trust me, you'd know. Like, it gets bad enough where you smell it yourself.
Oh, see, then I haven't. But I have a horrible sense of smell. Oh. Like, I can only hope that my wife would be like, hey, stinky.
Yeah, I'm sure she would tell you.
I'm sure.
So that's the weird thing about the keto diet. So usually it takes like 2 weeks, where you basically like deplete all the sugar in your bloodstream and your body starts generating the ketones. And when that happens, your breath starts smelling like acetone.
Ooh, jeez.
Yeah. But I mean, it only lasts like a couple of days.
It's like I'm back at the printing presses.
But, and then after that, it's just kind of back to normal. But yeah, that's one of the side effects of ketone. Cause it's just the way that your body works. Like, so you're not burning sugar anymore. So your body is making these ketone bodies, which are somewhat similar to alcohol. They're higher calorie than sugar, but lower calorie than fat. So basically it's turning fat into fuel by making these ketone bodies. Cause fat molecules can't get into your can't cross the blood brain barrier, but ketone bodies can. So your body makes ketones out of fat. Those can get into your brain to fuel your brain. But yeah, the side effects that you're talking about are actually pretty common for keto for keto diet, where you feel like so much more calm and clear-headed.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't know. I think part of that has to do with like your digestive system. Because your digestive system doesn't have to work as hard to break down fats and proteins as it does to do carbs. But also like some of the other side effects of like not having to generate additional chemicals to break down and deal with sugar, right? Like insulin and that kind of thing. And so that's why you feel more clear-headed. That's cool, man. I'm glad it's working out for you.
It's strange. When I lived in Chicago, going to school down there, working down there, I went on a diet and, well, I don't even know if it was, it's not a structured diet, but in my head it was a diet. But I was pretty much just monitoring what I was eating. And it was the first time that I was ever like, oh my God, I'm hungry. And instead of like, what can I have to eat? I would just sort of deal with it. And I was picturing like, your body's just a machine. All you're doing is feeding food to feed the machine. Like you just took out all the pleasure from it. And I sort of feel that way now.
Hmm.
Like my wife is freaking out that like, how can you live in this with this change of lifestyle? And I'm like, well, it's not a diet. It's a change of lifestyle. And I'm like, you just have to take joy that you can have a giant pile of meat. Instead of all the sides.
Yeah. So actually, I'm glad you brought this up. So I'm having a similar experience in a different part of my life.
Oh,
but I want to like relate these two things, and I want to ask you about like the taking joy out of it part, because you're like me where you get a great deal of pleasure from preparing a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, we've talked before about like, the joy of making something out of nothing and making it taste really good and that kind of stuff. So that's tough. So what I'm going through right now is with my phone. Because, as you know, my phone screen cracked on my old phone. And so I purchased a new phone, Except I didn't purchase a new phone. I purchased a new old phone. I bought a, this phone came out in 2014, so 4-year-old phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about this before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
a burner phone.
Well,
for your heroin business, heroin side business.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
But it is, my second favorite phone of all time. I've had this phone before. my favorite phone of all time is the Nexus 4, the Google Nexus 4. Mm-hmm. I think it's the perfect size. If you want to consume video, the screen is small. But here's the thing that I've realized since switching to this phone. And it's not because it's a 4-year-old phone. Because it runs fantastically well for being an old phone. Which number one tells me you don't need to buy a new phone every year. But two, it really is about how much of your time you're willing to give to your phone. So I got this phone.
And did you discover you're not a 13-year-old girl?
Well, no, I discovered without having Apple and Google tell me. Go ahead.
My point is all of these phone companies are like, you can watch all this on your phone. And I have never once. I might have watched a few YouTube videos, but I ain't watching a movie on my phone.
No.
I got a big screen TV right there. What am I doing? Like, I'm not a 12-year-old child watching an entire show on my – no, I'm not – I don't need a big screen for that.
Well,
I don't need the best of the best.
So the thing is, I'm realizing – more efficient ways to use my phone. And this is actually pretty weird. So my wife's phone started going into a boot loop like the week after I got my new phone. And I'm thinking to myself, you just want a new phone. But I played with it and it was true. Like it would just randomly start rebooting on its own.
Sheesh.
Like the camera would just sometimes just crash the phone altogether.
Wow.
So I tried to reset it and it worked better. But she didn't like the way that it looked. And I think that's the difference between like myself being a weird tech guy and like normal people. Normal people just want to like pick up their phone and it works.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I don't do that, right? So like I took Android off my phone. I mean, it still runs technically Android. But I put Lineage on it, which is a version of Android with no Google stuff on it. I changed the launcher on it, so it doesn't look like a standard Android phone does. I'm using Niagara Launcher, which is freaking awesome. It doesn't matter what it is. And she just didn't like the way that it looked, because I think it reverted to like an older version of whatever she had on her phone.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, I just want to get a new phone. And I was like, well, you know what, whatever, just get a new phone. Cause her phone's been paid off for like 6 months now. And as it turned out, like that day, the OnePlus 6T came out and I don't know if you saw videos for this phone. It is by far the most beautiful phone I've ever seen in my life. It's a giant phone. It's like a 6-inch screen. It's bezel-less. And as you know, I hate notches on phones. But the way that they did it is the notch is freaking tiny. It's like literally just a little tiny dot on the top. Because most phones did like this little like weird rectangular thing on it to house the camera. They move some of the sensors around the camera so they can make the notch like literally just the size of the camera. So it's beautiful. Anyway, so I was like, get this phone. And she brought it home. Oh, and it's got fingerprint sensor on the screen. Not like on a button or the back of the phone or anything.
Smart.
So that's pretty cool. Anyway, so I told her to get the phone and I was super jealous because like this phone is beautiful, but like I don't need it. Right. So that's when she got hers, I started like really rethinking how I use my phone. And so like I thought about it and you know, like for example, in the family room, we got the TV obviously and to it is hooked up a Chromecast. Which I don't know if you've ever used it, but it's super cool. Instead of having to like have a remote to control what you're watching on your TV, you control it from your phone and it just almost like mirrors onto the TV. Okay. It makes your phone the remote for whatever you're watching. But we also have a Fire Stick hooked up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking to myself, like, do I really need this stuff? And for some reason, like, Netflix quit working on my phone. Well, like, Netflix still worked on my phone, but it wouldn't let me cast it to my TV.
Mm.
But it let me cast it to the Fire Stick.
Huh.
So I'm like, this is fucking stupid. Like, I don't want to deal with any of this stuff. Right? Like, I don't have time to be, like, troubleshooting why this doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I just need it to work or not work. And if it's not going to work, then I don't need it. So I got rid of Netflix on my phone. Because I could just say, oh wait, is she on mute? Probably not. She's about to put this on. I would just say like, Alexa, open Netflix on Fire TV, right? And like, it would just open Netflix. Or I would say like, Alexa, play. Yes, I know. You shut your face. I'm not going to the Alexa app. No, you shut up.
Just go over to the app.
Just be like, A word, you know, play Stranger Things on Fire TV, right?
Sure.
And not have to worry about it, right? Because the point is, like, we've got one of these stupid things in every room, and one of them can control my TV, so why not fucking do it? Like, why do I need a phone to do it?
Sure.
So I put, like, Hulu on my Fire Stick, and I took Hulu off my phone.
Mm.
And so I started going, like, through the list, and basically I deleted, like, a ton of apps. Probably, like, 10 different apps. All, like, just, like, video services, basically.
Are you ready to like start down the road of like limiting yourself to, I'm only going to be on these social channels this amount of time, and then I'm going to purposely lock myself out?
We're going to get there.
Oh, shit.
We're going to get there. Okay. So I took Netflix off. I took YouTube off. I took Hulu off. I took Crackle, CW, like basically all the stuff that I use.
So much streaming crap.
Right?
Jesus Christ.
I took all of them off my phone except for the DC Universe app.
Mm-hmm.
Cause then that way I can still cast that to my TV and not have to watch it on my phone or the computer.
Sure.
Alright, so that's the only one that I have in there. DC Universe, I've got Plex on there for now. I'm probably gonna take it off cause I've got a bunch of, like ripped DVDs and stuff on my computer. All legal, by the way. Stuff that I own that I ripped into my computer.
Of course.
Not on my current one because there's no DVD drive in there. On my previous computer. There's nothing in there like less than, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old.
Your wife owns, as we've talked, your wife owns the entire series of My Strange Addiction. So of course those are all ripped to your.
No, she actually bought those on, I don't know, either Amazon or Google Play, one of the two. All right. So whatever. So that's the only streaming app on there. That one and then the Prime Video app, right? Cause you can do like play on Fire TV from the app. And then if I'm a controller, I just use my A word device in the room. So that got rid of a bunch of stuff. And I'm talking to my wife and she's setting up her phone. And, you know, setting up a new phone is not an easy thing sometimes, right? Especially if you don't, like, have the right settings. So when I set up my new phone, all I had to do was log into my account. And it's like, do you want to just reinstate your backup? And I'm like, yes. And I just re-downloaded all the apps I had on my previous phone, all my settings, everything. And then I have to worry about text because my phone number is through Google Voice. So all that's saved in the cloud. So everything's in there. I go to set up my wife's phone and she hasn't checked all the boxes in her backup, which I don't blame her. Like normal people wouldn't just actually look through the settings and see what's being backed up. So like she's got to re-sign into her accounts. You know, I got to like send her passwords and this, that, and the other. And it was a pain in the butt. Finally, she got it all taken care of. And I looked at her phone and she had 86 apps on her phone. And I'm like, holy Jesus, 86 apps. And I look at my phone and I still had like, I don't know, 30. And I started going through it and I was like, I don't even use this app. And I just got rid of it. I don't even use this app. I just got rid of it. So I end up including the apps that just like come pre-installed on my phone. I ended up with like, I think it was like 15 or 16 apps total. And like, and there are apps I actually use. Like on my home screen, I have 2, 4, 6. I have 7 links, 7 shortcuts to apps that I use all the time. So camera, sure, yeah. Discord, Prime Video, messages, podcast, Twitter, and the browser.
X hamster.
Pornhub.
Yes, of course.
So
potato, potato,
potato, potato. But so I realized like between all the stuff I have, right? Like these devices hooked to my TV that I don't really need. So I don't really need these apps on my phone. Mm-hmm. And then like truly like realizing, well, do I really use this or do I just have it like just in case? Right? Like my wife had me download the Wendy's app.
Oh, delicious.
Right? Like
build your own baked potato.
You know how many times I've been to Wendy's in the past 10 years?
5.
All right. Twice.
Twice?
Twice.
Whoa. All right.
Until I got this app, which was, 2 months ago. You wanna know how many times I've been to Wendy's since I got the app?
18.
7 times.
Oh.
So in 2 months with this app, I went to Wendy's 7 times. Before
that?
Because they have
coupons?
I'll be honest, really good coupons. Like buy one salad, get one free. Or like.
So does the McDonald's app.
Dude.
They have the same exact thing.
And so
buy one chicken sandwich, get one free.
And so I realized part of the reason my wife has so many apps is a lot of them are these kind of apps. So she's got like the Chick-fil-A app, the Wendy's app, the McDonald's app, the Burger King app, the Taco Bell app, whatever. Like this supermarket,
she should
that
be,
supermarket,
we
this
should be
coupon,
talking
that coupon.
To her about garbage food. She might have something to say.
But and so I get it. But like I understand why she does it, right?
Yeah.
It's number one, convenience, right? But number two, like you do get a lot of really good deals. I mean like
but also,
really
can't you
good
get
deals.
Rid of that? Like I would be getting rid of the Wendy's app, and then when your wife's like, swing by Wendy's, they have a buy one, get one. And then you just reinstall it. Like that just seems like that app is like poking you on the shoulder. Like, hey, you should check out what I have. Hey, 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 here's a notification. We have something special here for you. Open me up.
But see, that's the thing. Like, I don't want to be distracted with, hey, here's a new coupon.
Right. That's why you delete it. And then just reinstall it when your wife discovers, oh, there's a new coupon.
But I don't want to do that. Because the thing is, when I realize, like, I don't – what I realized from using this new phone is that there's many apps that I have – that I use like once a year or twice a year. You know what I'm saying? And there's some apps that just by the very action of having them, I end up doing more of certain behaviors that I don't feel are behaviors
good.
That I should be doing.
Right.
Like going to Wendy's 7 times in 2 months.
Agreed.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's great for the girls, right? Like I go because I'll buy a Frosty and I get a Frosty for free. And that's fantastic, but like, I mean, how many times did they have Frosty before that?
Right.
Right? Like, am I just going to get a Frosty because I can get a Frosty? And like, that's not the behavior that I want in my life.
Yeah.
Right?
That's why I'm telling you to delete it.
Well, I did. I got rid of all of them.
Good, good, good.
I got rid of all of them. But you know, like, this has been an ongoing thing for me. I mean, you saw my tweet about the trades. Right. This has been an ongoing thing, and the more that like it's not even like spending time thinking about it, but just like I don't have, you know, 80 apps on my phone, so I don't feel the need to get on my phone to see like what's going on in this app. Oh, okay, that's done. Let me go check this app. You know what I mean? Which is part of the problem with Facebook, right? And one of the reasons, like, since I've deleted Facebook. I spend like half as much time on my phone.
Yeah, which is great.
And if I didn't like do these podcasts, I would delete Twitter off my phone.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Well, because the thing is like when I post something like for myself, like I'm reading this comic or like I really love this movie, or like, hey, I need a recommendation on this. Like, what does anyone think? Like those kind of things I'm not doing from my phone because like when I have only my phone on me, I'm usually at work. right? So whenever I do those kind of tweets, I'm already at home on my computer.
Sure.
Right? So I don't really need it. Like the reason I keep it on there is the, you know, the podcast tweets go out in the morning. And so people are like replying through the day.
And you love my animated GIFs.
And I love your animated GIFs.
Thank you.
And you know, I think like part of the thing is like FOMO, right? Like fear of missing out. But
do you really feel that?
I think for a lot of people, yes. I don't, because I've curated my Twitter enough where I don't see a lot of that garbage.
No, I'm asking in general, do you feel that?
Oh, no.
Fear of missing out.
No.
Because I have not felt that way in probably a decade.
Yeah.
I just don't care. Well.
I don't know about a big deal. I don't know about a decade, but definitely like within the last maybe couple of years. More and more every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, that's how I could give up floppies, because I didn't care. I didn't care what the I like hearing the current conversation, but I don't need to be part of it.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant like 5 1/4 inch floppies.
No.
Oh.
My.
Oh.
But it goes back to your trades. Like, I feel like you and me have a kinship with, it's sort of nice to purge a little bit and have a fresh start. I want to just draw a line and be like, now I'm starting over. And that's sort of like getting rid of trades that you know you've read once, but you'll never read again. And if you were to read again, you could find some other means of getting it.
Yeah. I've been, so here's the weird thing. So I've been contemplating my Batman collection. I don't think I'm going to get rid of it. The thought has come up a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. Cause I do this with so many other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't buy movies. I don't buy music, right? All that's streamed. I'm doing a lot of my comics digitally just cause I just don't feel like buying boxes and cataloging and bagging and boarding. Cause it's the same thing with like the apps, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like just the mere fact of having them has me wanting to use them when they're not really doing anything for me. And same thing with the physical comics. And if you buy physical comics, I know Mike's probably like shitting his pants right now. Yeah. Cause Mike spends, you know, Mike's got like a day where he just like catalogs and bags and boards.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he has to because he buys so many damn comics.
But that also could be a very zen activity.
Sure. Absolutely.
I remember putting like my records in order and it became very zen.
Well, and you know, and he's explained part of the reason he prefers physical comics is he's in front of a computer screen all day.
Yeah.
So of course he doesn't want to stare at a computer at a screen to read his comics, right?
For sure.
And it's just a very analog thing that's counter what he does all day every day. And uh-huh. So for that I totally get it. So if you're that kind of person where like you're still buying a ton of physical comics, I'm not shitting on you in any means. But for me it's easier for me to not have to spend the time cataloging and bagging and boarding. And I still do some of that because I do still buy some physical comics. And you know, for a while I was spending quite a bit of time doing it because I was transferring my Batman collection from just like regular bags and boards to My Light and Halfbacks. And that takes a while.
Of course.
Listen, I may be mostly digital, but there is no better supply for comics than a My Light and either halfback or fullback.
Okay.
Yeah. It is the bags are crystal clear. They're beautiful. They're thicker. They're nice. They're clearer so you can actually see your comic, not that blurry garbage crap bag that you buy at a comic shop. Anyways. So, but you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's just easier. Like I don't have number one, the time to drive 30 minutes to the comic shop and drive 30 minutes back. I don't want to have to open a box of comics and have to go and catalog them in a database, or, you know, spend the time putting them in bags and boards. They smell great. Yes, they feel great in your hands. Yes, the experience is better. But, you know, it's like a what's more important to me kind of thing, right?
See, I'm not going to poo on anyone's nerdy behavior. Like, you do you. You mm-hmm. enjoy this. Yeah. Get out there. And will you always have this mindset? I've known you for how long? I can already tell you, no, you won't have this behavior.
Sure.
You're gonna ebb and flow.
Yep.
I do the same thing. I am probably 100% digital, but there's still times that I love going to my comic book store, jumping in the quarter boxes, grabbing out some comics. But unlike the behavior you're describing, do you think I'm categorizing this? Do you think I'm putting them in alphabet? No. I read the stack of comic books and then I throw them into a box, or I throw them on the side figuring I'll give these to somebody or I'll donate them somewhere. I don't need to hold on to these. But the whole thrill of it is for a quarter, I have a fantastic shitter read that I spent 20 minutes reading for a quarter. Mm-hmm. That's a great bargain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the whole thing of like alphabet, like, no, I haven't gone back to that period. I haven't. That's not a behavior but I still like bin diving. I still like looking for certain things, or, you know, I bought a Action Comics a couple weeks ago when I was bin diving, and just because it was a cover that I remember from my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dang, I don't even remember the story, but I got to get this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the one where Lex Luthor, of course, in his awesome green and purple costume, and he's beating up the Justice League, but the Justice League, all of them are child size.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't remember how that happened, but I certainly remember that cover. And it's a Neil Adams cover, so it's like, that's ingrained in your head, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So just like stuff like that. Like, I'll go and just like bin dive just so I can spend 20 minutes rereading a comic book, because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's fun to flip through the ads. But I know you well enough, like, sometimes it's like, I'm all in. And then guess what? In 6 months, you could be like, yeah, I'm doing DCBS again. Because I want to read all of the Vertigo titles or all of the DC titles, and I don't want to spend an arm and a leg. Totally understandable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I do flip-flop, I don't know, like every year and a half, I would say, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now I just feel like I feel better about my choice to be mostly digital than mm-hmm. I have in probably ever.
The only thing that stinks with digital for new releases, you don't get any break price-wise.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, who cares that you can read it at whatever it is, 12:01 or 5 in the morning, whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
It stinks that the price is still the same. Like listening to the Ultimate Marvel podcast when Jack came back, he's talking about going digital, but he still buys books.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was him and I was buying a lot of Marvel or a lot of DC, and I knew, oh, Marvel is doing those digital codes, for me, I would be going to my local comic book shop, buying all of those, grabbing all the codes, and then taking these comics and like donating them somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, I'm sure there's a kid that would like these. Like, that's what I would be doing, but I am not that person. I'm not buying recent issues. Mm-hmm. So I have no interest doing that.
Sure. Sure. But yeah, I just get, I don't know, I've got all this, and I think part of it is just like the atmosphere at work. You know what I'm saying? It's just so hectic right now.
Sure.
That I feel the need to have like some kind of aspect of my personal life mm-hmm. where I don't need to control it or schedule it.
Yeah, less cluttered, a little bit more simplified.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So like, you know, I don't even know how many comics I subscribe to. I mean, looking at my Comixology bill, it's probably like close to 100 or 100 comics a month. But like, I don't have to do anything with them, right? Like they show up and Comixology search is fucking garbage. But like I can find them, you know, like it doesn't take me very long and I don't need to catalog or anything like that or find a box or a space for them. But like with my work schedule, I don't want to come home and have to deal with any of that stuff. Right. I just like want to come and just like relax and just like create content. And that's one thing that I've realized over the last couple of weeks. So I'm doing NaNoWriMo and we haven't talked about that yet. We can talk about it in a few. But like I realized that with all these changes in the way that like I'm using my phone and my computer and stuff, I find myself like consuming less and creating more. And that makes me feel more satisfied too, right? And it's not that like I'm not consuming. So here's the resolutions that I've come up with over the last week or so. I fell behind on TV shows. Cause all the TV shows came back, right? Like Flash came back and Supergirl and Arrow and Black Lightning, Gifted, whatever the fuck else. The 300,000 different things that came back. And when they came out, like I watched all the first episodes. But then like I got super busy, right? And like I want to keep my podcast on schedule. So I'm working on the podcast. And because I want to work on the podcast, like there's comics that I have to read. Or maybe not have to, but like really want to read so I can talk about them. And so I find myself like devoting a lot of my free time, not so much to sitting on the couch watching TV, but like sitting on the couch and reading comics and then like talking about comics and talking to you or Ronnie or and Aaron. That's why I ran late tonight. Aaron and I and Ronnie were recording a Kickstarter episode.
Ooh, I like that. That was the first one was so good. So I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be out tomorrow, same day as this episode. And we all spent a lot of money because I'm looking at 13 Kickstarters right now. So
looking at, or you're participating in,
looking at, I'm only backing 3 right now. Okay. I'm probably going to end up backing 10 of these.
You know what? And this falls into this discussion while you were talking about like your routine.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my routine, I would, not that I read physical stuff all that often, but Kickstarter is sort of the opposite. I want to support certain creators and it seems like Kickstarter will get a higher percentage in their hand than if they were doing something for, you know, a different comic book publisher.
Yeah.
So I feel like, well, sure, I can meet up with whomever at a con and be like, here's $20 for your prints that cost you 18 cents. And that's a great way to be like, I'm sort of donating money to the cause because I want to support this person. But I like the Kickstarter aspect, but for me, it's not, when are you going to give me that physical book? It's more, I want to support this.
Yeah.
So like looking for a digital code, sure. But also I sort of want like, I want a cool tier to, I don't know. It's a neat little, I feel like it's better than like, I'm going to put this donation into your, you know, comic book legal defense fund.
Mm-hmm.
But here I am getting something out of it, which is really nice.
Yep.
It's a little exciting.
Yeah. Like I just backed the book. Oh God, what book was it? I backed so many damn Kickstarters. I gotta quit. I'll tell you right now. Let me pull up my tweet here. This Offbeat Town.
Oh.
It's a $20 trade.
Okay.
I backed it at the $50 level because at the $50 level, you get the trade and you get a sketch by the artist on the inside of the cover. Like to me, that's worth $30. You know what I'm saying? Like, number one, it makes the book personalized.
And dude, you're never ever gonna get a sketch at this point for $30.
Right? You see what I'm saying? So like, if I go to a con, who am I gonna get to sketch me something for $30. Like, I mean, I've done it. I got a commission, an Exo Man of War commission from a guy at a local convention 2 years ago for $30. And it was like a full body commission on like an 11 by 17. It was big.
Nice.
And like he got super busy at the con. He's like, I'll just mail it to you. Like, I won't even charge you for the shipping. I was like, dude, I'll pay for the shipping. Like,
right.
I don't mind paying for the shipping. I get you busy. Just like, what's the shipping? Just shoot me an email when you're ready to ship it. I'll PayPal you the shipping costs. Like, you're already just charging me $30. You know what I mean? Like, for a full size commission.
But that's a rainbow unicorn.
No, I get that.
Can't even get a head.
Sure.
Sketch for that at this point.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? Like, 30 extra bucks to get a sketch on the book. It's personalized.
Yeah.
Nobody else will have the sketch in here. Like, I can't get a sketch for $30. And I'm adding to, like, this goal, right?
Because
it doesn't cost
them
anything.
As well as really help. But you know how much money that's, percentage-wise, how much of your money is going right into his pocket.
Yeah.
To help him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I don't know. It's good. It's good. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But which is cool though, by the way. I would like to see more Kickstarters do that kind of thing. And I know like sometimes it doesn't work out because of whatever timing or whatever.
Come on.
But like that's a cool tier. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if you know this, but I'm pretty sure both of us would wait an extra 6 months if that tier was available. I don't care if you got your book a year before I got it. I'm going to get a sketch in mine.
Yeah.
I can wait. Give me a prank.
Well, I don't want to wait too long because I do have like a time frame in which I'll pitch in on a Kickstarter. Like generally if it's like more than 4 months out, the chances of me backing it are like 25%.
Gotcha.
But if it's within like 3 or 4 months and it looks cool, 100%.
Yeah. I like those little personal tiers. Those are nice.
Yeah. So things like that.
But I totally get how you want to simplify. You want your personal life to be simplified because work is a little frantic and hectic.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't want to come home and just have to deal with more hectic, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's tough because my wife loves stuff. I mean, I joke about her all the time that she's going to end up on Hoarders one day. Probably just like not for stuff necessarily, but maybe for dogs. But my wife does like stuff. And she's got stuff that she doesn't even look at, right? So in our laundry room, there are two chests of stuff, that we picked up from her parents' house because they were going through their storage units and found like this stuff from when my wife was a kid. And my wife's like, well, yeah, like, I have memories with that stuff. I want that stuff. So, and I get that. I get that. So we went in and got it. And I mean, she's looked at it once since we've had it, right? So it's just a matter of just having it to have it because there's a memory attached to it.
For sure. I get it.
And I get it as well. But I don't work that way. You know what I'm saying? When I was growing up, we moved around a lot. Like by the time I was 9, I think I had moved at least 7 or 8 times that I can remember. And that's including 3 different countries, by the way. So like from very early on for me, stuff wasn't a big deal.
True.
Right? Because
you definitely have a nomadic way about you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're moving internationally, you're not bringing your furniture. No. You know what I'm saying?
God, no.
Like you'll have a suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was funny because when I moved in with my wife before we got married, we moved in together and I loaded up my stuff in my car and I drove to her house and she came outside. She's like, "Can you help unpack or getting your stuff out?" And I was like, "No." I was like, "I've got my bed was on the roof of the car, and I had some like wall art or whatever in my back seat." And I had a suitcase in my trunk, and that was it.
Black velvet poster, of course.
And, well, I mean, in comics, but like whatever. That's not
the
that
draw.
Many, that's not
the
that
drawing
much.
Of the dogs playing poker. We know.
But and funny enough, that same suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that suitcase for 17 years.
Sheesh.
16 years. 16 years. So I've had that suitcase since I left New York at the end of 2001. And it's a big suitcase. It's probably like 4 foot tall, like 3 foot wide, foot and a half, 2 foot deep. Like it's a giant suitcase.
Is it a steamer trunk? It sounds like a trunk.
No, it's a suitcase and it's on wheels and it's got, you know, a pull out handle or whatever.
Okay.
But I've had it that long. And, when I left New York, I loaded up all my clothes in it and I took the Amtrak and left and moved down here. So I've had the same suitcase and oddly enough, when I moved in with my wife, all my stuff still fit in that same suitcase, minus a couple of things, right? So like the wall art and the comics or whatever. But yeah, like that's the same suitcase I've had and all my stuff still fit in that suitcase. So she often jokes about this, that basically I can fit my entire life in the suitcase. And it's partially true. I mean, not necessarily everything, right? I mean, like we've gathered more stuff together now since we've been married.
Sure.
But I just like, I've never been big into stuff.
Gotcha.
Right? Like there's certain things that have stayed with me, like the suitcase, like my comics. Like even some of my clothes, I mean, there's some clothes that I've had for almost that long. But like some of it I don't really wear anymore. You know what I'm saying? So I'll probably get rid of those.
Your unicorn horn that has to stay. We know.
Well, I've had that since she and I were married. So
yes.
Yeah. But I thought about this with my trades, right? Cause I've got trades all over the damn house. All over the house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The shelving unit that houses my router and my cable modem. There's nothing else on there except just fucking trades all over it. Right? It's like six shelves. It's like a 6 foot unit full of trades. All laid out very neatly face down. So each shelf fits probably like, close to 25 trades, I would say. There's trades underneath my table on my side of the couch, on top mm-hmm. of it, on my wife's side, underneath it. There's half of our closet in our bedroom is just my trades. The other half is my comics. Mm-hmm. So I need to get those out so she can put her clothes in there. I've got trades in my nightstand.
Move over, Mike Myers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Mike buys probably four times as many comics as I do. Cause he and I talked about this on via DM a couple of months back. So I know how much he spends on comics. He knows about how much I spend on comics. He spends way more than I do. That's not a surprise.
Yeah, of course.
And he's got comics all over his house. His wife is a sweet fucking angel, for letting all these comics around.
Well, she sneezes a lot, so she's not always an angel.
She does. It could be the mold on the spine of those comics. I'm just kidding,
hey,
Mike.
Easy,
there's no mold
easy.
On there.
Whoa.
It's a Heroes Con joke, okay? My bad.
Easy. Don't make Mike run into the other room and take a look at his comics. You're scaring him. It's okay, Mike. It was only a joke.
But, yeah. But, I mean, I've got traits everywhere. And I mean, I've got like probably 200 trades I've never even opened.
What?
Right? Oh yeah. Like I ordered them and they've come in and they just like either sit on a shelf or I've got in the garage like a stack of boxes of trades that I bought that are like still in the box with the shipping label.
What was your first trade you ever bought?
First trade I ever bought. I think it was Watchmen probably. Watchmen? It was definitely Alan Moore. Yeah, it was either Watchmen or From Hell. One of those two.
Gotcha.
Yep. Anyway, there's freaking trades all over this goddamn place. And this past week, I got 100% caught up on all my comics. And again, I, you know, I'd buy like roughly, we'll say about 100 comics a month. So it was good, right? Cause I've stayed pretty consistent since I started doing my other podcast with keeping up with my weekly comics. But there were still a few that I was falling behind on. Some probably because I shouldn't have continued buying them.
Yeah.
So those will be off my list.
Good.
But I'm 100% caught up right now. Except for this week's books, which I mean, they came out yesterday, so whatever. I'll read them this weekend.
Can I throw out a scenario?
Oh yeah.
In that room, in one of those stacks of trades,
mm-hmm.
is a trade that you've never read before, never read the floppies, never read the trade before. It pops up on Comixology on sale for $4.99. Do you spend the $5? Or does that inspire you to be like, I'm going to find that effing trade and I'm going to read it?
Mm. So there's a minor problem there.
Mm.
Minor problem being there are so many of them. I don't know what all of them are.
Well, of course. So, but I'm just saying the hunt for it. I'm not saying you know what stack it's in. I'm just saying, oh boy, here comes 40 minutes of me trying to find, but you might stumble on a couple other trades. It's like, damn, I didn't remember I had this. Yeah, I do want to read this.
Mm. So no, but I have been on Comixology and be like, oh, that's a good deal. I'm going to buy this and I'll buy it only to find like a couple of weeks later that it's been sitting on one of the shelves somewhere around this house.
Gotcha.
That is possible. That has happened.
I've done the dumb thing, and usually, you know, I like the way Comixology, like, the best thing about digital is any device that's connected to your account will have that book at the updated point where you're at. So I can go seamlessly from my tablet to my phone and just continue reading right where I left off. That's awesome. The thing I don't like is, and I'm sure you see it in your floppy and trades, where it's you buy the individual issues, not the trade. Then the trade goes on sale in a year. You don't remember you bought those individual issues. So then you buy the trade again. It's like, damn it. I can't believe I did that. Ah. It's like one extra step to type in like, The Incredible Hulk. Do I have this issue or a trade? Let me scroll through what I purchased under Incredible Hulk. It's that one extra hoop that I always forget to do. And then I just double down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, damn it. And I'm pretty sure Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, they don't need those 3 cents that are coming from that 99 cent issue. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They don't need that. But I wish I had that back in my pocket.
No, I get it.
I was just curious if the convenience was enough to sell you on the $4.99 trade. Just like, cause that's sort of where I'm at. Not that I'm like Richie Rich, but like $5 for like 8 issues. Why am I trying to go upstairs trying to rustle through like whatever it is, 150 trades that's up there, trying to find that swamp, Alan Moore swamp thing. It's on sale. It's $4.99. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
My time's, as I learned from Mr. Martin Ferretti, what's your time worth?
It's true. It's very true.
Mm-hmm. I respect that.
People laugh when I say it, but let me tell you, it's fucking true.
I don't laugh. Out.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Dude, I live it. You've converted me.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, we were talking about that on Discord yesterday, I think.
Oh.
Cause they were talking about, mowing grass.
Yes. Sparky.
And I'm like, dude, I don't mow my grass. I pay a dude $40. He comes every 2 weeks and he cuts my grass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, between my front and backyard, there's like an acre of land there. I'm not going to go with my push mower and mow an acre of grass.
You don't have time for that.
I don't have time for that. With a push mower, it's like a 6-hour job. I ain't doing it. I'm not going to buy a fucking riding lawnmower because then I have to do maintenance and stuff on it. I don't have time for that. So,
but I will say, and I think you would agree, there is something to those type of tasks that's very meditative. I can't blame anyone who has a big yard and like, you know what? I get in the zone. I just completely zone out and it's just me pushing a lawnmower and the entire world slips away. It's so, like, I totally get that. But also your example, you throw away $20 a week. Why not spend that on somebody coming over and mowing your lawn?
That's what I'm saying, dude. Are you telling me that people listening to this, you're not going to like McDonald's or Taco Bell or something?
Exactly.
Taco Bell. At least once a week and getting some garbage food.
Or Starbucks.
You go to Starbucks like a couple mornings a week to get your coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
Like for sure you do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, that's what I told one person that was like, dude, money bags, like you got somebody coming to mow your yard. No, it's not about money bags. It's $20 a week, dude.
Dude, I throw out to my mom all the time. I'm like, you're getting up there in age. Why don't you have somebody come and clean the house for you every other week? Just so all you have to do is straighten it. Like, why are you wasting all that time doing that? It's like, live the golden years. Enjoy yourself. That's what I want to do. Like, I'm not hoarding I don't have kids. I'm not hoarding money so I can pass it on to, like, the younger generation. No. When I die, what's going to happen to my money? I have no idea. No clue.
Mm-hmm.
So why not have somebody come in and mow my lawn for $20 a week? Give me a break.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, it frees you up to do other stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And it removes the stress of you having to do it. Right, like
your time is very valuable.
Sure.
I mean, you are working crazy days, crazy weekends, crazy hours. So, you can't be wasting 6 hours a week.
Hell no. But to go to your point, like, there's people that definitely get that meditative zen time, right? Like, that's your alone time, right? Like,
for sure.
You've got kids at home, you got a wife or a husband, you got a crazy ass boss, you got, you know, people that you work with, you have to deal with whatever, teachers and going to get groceries and this, that, and the other. And then, like, the couple of hours every week or every 2 weeks or whatever where you're mowing the grass or, like, cleaning the gutters or weed eating or whatever, like, washing the car, like, that's your me time.
You know what mine – what – I want to know what your activity is.
Wait,
you know,
hang on.
You know what mine is?
Go
and
ahead.
It only happens twice a year.
Oh? Pumpkin pie time.
No, squeegeeing the windows.
Oh, that's nice.
Like cleaning the windows, there is something so zen to spend $3 on a squeegee and just use that like you do on your like car windshield. There's just something so calming and to do that. Cause there's a precision to it. It's a repetitive action and you immediately see the results.
So what we've learned tonight is that Nick Wetmore is the Karate Kid. Wax on, wax off.
Thank you. You may call me Daniel, son. Thank you.
So to go back to that. So I get that for a lot of people, that's their Zen time. What I'm saying to you is it can be more than your Zen time. Because if you pay somebody $20, and I understand, like, for some places it might be more expensive, right? Like, I'm sure for Aaron Bell in New Jersey, it's like $300 per square foot to cut his grass.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yeah.
So I get that. But the thing is, with the amount of time that you save doing that, think about how much more productive, meditative, zen, personal time you would get when you don't need to be doing that. Where you can actually be relaxing, doing something else, reading a book or writing a book or whatever, going out into the woods and
spending,
just being peace.
Spending more time with the family.
Yeah, yeah. You just got to find like what truly is like the most productive thing for yourself. You know what I mean?
Agreed. Totally agree.
And sometimes it's okay to spend a little bit of money to outsource some of that stuff to get like real quality, like personal me time, which I think a lot of people just don't have that.
I think there's a stigma to it. I think a lot of people are like, you can't treat yourself. You know, you should feel guilty.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And it's like, no, you should treat yourself.
No, no, no. Ronnie and I have talked about this. Not on the air, but I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this. But Ronnie and I have talked about this. Because, you know, like, Ronnie's got kids. His wife's been sick. She just had surgery, right? Like, yeah. I've got kids. My wife, I hope she doesn't mind, partially deals with depression. So, like, there's a lot of stuff going on, right?
Yeah.
And so as, you know, like, typical gender role, a lot of what he and I have to do is be the dad and be the husband and be the caregiver and the breadwinner and this, that, and the other. And it's hard, right? When you have a wife and kids and responsibilities. And you know, you and I have talked about this. Like, I think about just going to my boss and telling him to fuck off every day. But I don't do it because my responsibility is to my family, right? So if I have to put in the 12-hour work days, then that's what I'm going to do because my job pays me very well to do what I do and it takes care of my family. Yeah. Right. Yep. Now, if it was just me with no wife and kids, I would just be like, F you, I'm out of here. And like, yeah. Who cares? Right. Cause it's just me.
Right.
But
then you'd be living in Portugal.
Dude, probably. I'd be somewhere. I'd probably be in Alaska, to be honest with you. I wanted to just go to Alaska for like a decade.
That's what my cousin did.
Yeah. I think it'd
she
be
just
awesome.
Up and moved and did not know one person, but just always wanted to go there and has been there for about 15 years now.
See? Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect. But a lot of times, like we don't have the balls to do that kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're raised to follow certain norms.
Right.
You and I talked about this a little bit when a couple weeks ago with Zoe, right? When like the teacher keeps getting her in trouble and she keeps getting red on her freaking reports because like Zoe's just bored, right? Like
right.
Zoe wants to just read and not follow the instructions to a T and like have to underline everything when the underlining has nothing to do with whatever she's learning.
Right.
And those kind of people unfortunately get kind of, shunned sometimes. We have another meeting, by the way, this Monday.
Gotcha.
But they get kind of shunned because they're not conforming to the ideal. And, you know, sometimes the ideal just kind of makes things worse for a lot of people, I think.
Gotcha.
I remember, so this is I don't think we've ever gotten this personal, but, so when I was about 18 or 19, I think it was about 18. I left church. So my dad, whom I love to death, my dad and I did not have the best relationship growing up when I was a kid. But as I got older, it got better. And then after my mom passed away, it got really great. But you know, my dad was a preacher in church and my mom was a Sunday school teacher. My dad was choir director. My mom was in the choir. She did Sunday school, this and the other. Like they did the flower arrangements every Sunday. Like they were very involved. And I was very involved, right? Like I was choir director at one point. I helped around with Sunday school, like this and the other. We did like visitations for sick people outside of church. I went to church like 3 times a week, this and the other. But like I was never like totally into it. And I got to a point where like, I really felt sad being there. Like I remember one time, like literally just crying in church that I was there because I didn't believe in a single word that I was hearing.
Conflict of faith.
Right. And you know, I talked to another preacher and I was taking religion in school. So I talked to my religion teacher, this, that, and the other. And I remember having the discussion with my parents. And I remember appreciating how understanding they were. Even though they didn't truly understand what I was saying.
Sure. Yeah, that's a big pill for them.
Yeah. But they were respectful of the decision that I had made for myself. And like my dad still asked me all the time, right? Like Jesus loves you. I pray for you all the time. Like, you know, you have a calling to be whatever. And like, that's fine. Like, if that's what he believes, that's what he believes. I have my own beliefs And if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying? But like I get that all the time. And you know, his wife now is very religious, probably much more so than my mom was, or even my dad back then. But I remember having this discussion with my mom. So I had the discussion with my dad first. And my dad heard me, but he wasn't listening to what I had to say. And I understand why. I don't think he understood why, but I understand why. And then I had the chat with my mom. I mean, we had it together, and then I kind of talked to my dad, and I talked to my mom separate. I think my mom understood more than my dad did. And I don't know if it's partially maybe she was more willing to listen than anything else. But I remember her telling me something that really stuck with me. And what she said was something to the effect of, I'm glad that you're able to make this decision for yourself, because it's not something that I could decide for myself. And the reason for that being, you know, once you're entrenched in this system, it's very hard to break out of it. You know what I mean? Because you really base your life around it. You base your friendships around it. You base your personal values and beliefs on it.
Yeah, your self-worth.
And, right. And so if you, for some reason, decide that's not the thing for you, then you have to rethink every single aspect of your life. And
as well as that being a very lonely decision too.
Sure.
Because it's 100% your life.
Sure.
So to leave that, it's like, now where do I go? What do I do?
Sure. And I think that, I think this is, and I felt sad at the time.
For your mom.
Yeah.
For your mom. Yeah.
And I still do. Because like, it seems like that's so common for a lot of people, right? Where like you just kind of accept your lot in life and you just deal with shit for no reason.
Sure.
I don't know. It's weird, man. It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, but also organized religion, there's a sense of community. There's definitely a support system there that I'm sure the older you get, you lean on more. And it would be hard to leave that, because where are you going to find people that are 50, 60 years old?
Sure.
That have similar likes and beliefs and values. Yeah, it's... Yeah, that would be rough for a parent to just up and do.
Yep. Nick, this is supposed to be a happy podcast. Why are we in a downer? What's happening right now?
There is no downer. This isn't a downer. This is just a conversation. There's nothing wrong with that.
You know what it is? I drank 29 ounces of gin.
Oh.
That might be what it is. My. Well, gin and tonic.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Even better.
I make them in these 32-ounce mason jars.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect for these long recording sessions.
Good golly.
Yeah.
That sounds wonderful.
It is. It's very good. But
I might have to switch over to some hard liquor.
Dude, I'm telling you.
For carbs.
For carbs. Pure. Right. It's for health reasons.
Yeah, for health. I don't really have a taste for real hard liquor. I mean, I'm pretty much a teetotaler. But. Guess what? If I go, I'm going to a nutritionalist Monday.
Mm.
And if they come back and they're like, yeah, you pretty much have to cut out beer. Then guess what? My buddy Craig, who's right up the street, you know, he lives in Chicago, right up the road.
Old Gundy.
He will be inheriting all my beer. Enjoy.
Oh man.
I ain't going to dump it out. Dump it right into his mouth. Come on now.
You know, when he listens to this tomorrow, he's going to be like, I'm on the way to Nick's house right now.
He'll be like, what? So when is this? Is this this coming Monday? T-minus.
Mm. By the way, if you're a religious person, like, don't take anything I said personal. That's the choice you made. I made my choice. I respect your choice. Respect mine.
Absolutely. And I've gone through the same crisis.
Yeah.
And I've even not that I'm religious whatsoever, but I've even found in the last few years sort of missing the routine of going to Mass.
Hmm.
And, which is really strange because I've always been very, very con organized religion.
Yeah.
But there's just points. And I would even say when I went to Liz's brother's funeral and they played a couple hymns, it's strange to hear stuff that you've heard only as a child. You pretty much have not heard it in decades. And those songs, not because her brother passed away, but hearing those songs elicited complete emotional breakdown.
Hmm.
And it's like, wow, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
That a song so old has been ingrained in me to elicit this reaction.
Yep.
Every once in a while, it's not bad. Like, guess what? We have a great network of friends. And I know if I ever was suffering through something, I could lean on everyone and they would happily take me in like that.
Sure. You get a bunch of grab ass.
But it's hard to find that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can see how people move or they drop some friend. They realize some friends, ooh, that person's a little crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. Or you just don't get along with your coworkers. It's like, how do you, not in your 20s, past your 20s, how do you actually make new friends?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a scary proposition. So to actually find like-minded people at our age, pretty unusual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very valuable. Like, I don't take any of that for granted.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. That's why I'm very happy to have this hobby of reading comics and podcasting, because, I mean, all the close friends that I have now, I've met through this hobby. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. you and Ronnie and Aaron and Paul and Dennis and Jay and everybody else.
For sure.
So, if you
still need to find out what general humanity's like, just go on a video game channel.
Go on Twitter sometime. For 5 minutes.
You want to see animals? They're out there. Sure. But you know what? Like, I have finally, and I think it's just me being a curmudgeon that like, and I even told Liz, I'm like, if Liz passed away tomorrow, God forbid,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I would be with another person just because I don't think I could give of myself in that give and take. I think I'm too much of a curmudgeon that it's just like, well, why should I do something I really don't want to do? I'm mm-hmm. too old for that.
Mm-hmm.
Screw that. So why would somebody want to be with that? You know, I totally, like, no. I just would, like, I'm very happy in my own skin at this point.
Yep. Yep. No, I agree.
That's why, like, you meet up with friends or people that you sort of want to be friends with because you have like stuff. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, they let their viewpoints known on stuff that, like, drives you crazy. And it's like, yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut bait with this person, where in your 20s, you'd be like, well, I got to work through this. I don't want to give up on that person. And now I'm a lot quicker at like, no, I ain't putting up with that bullshit. I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Like Liz and I, we went and voted this week. And I said, the majority of people are interested in 2 to 3 topics that these politicians are talking about, and that's what they're voting on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of how, I mean, that's sort of how I am with my friends. It's like, guess what? If you're going to lean so far one way, or you're using terminology that I just find uber offensive, and at this point I would let you know, I feel like I'm at least direct enough to do that, and you're not willing, or you just cannot curb that behavior, then I just don't need you in my life. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm peace outing a lot quicker than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Hang on a second. I'm going to go relieve myself.
Oh, jeez. Did I mention that I've been going through some trades? I have been whipping through some trades. I finished another collected edition of Scalped, which was fantastic. Jason Aaron's Scalped. That was amazing. And now I'm reading my first epic collection, which is the first epic collection for Iron Fist. And it's pretty crazy because I've read some Iron Fist back in the day. And I've always loved him. Always loved the goofy costume. Don't ever want that to go, but I'm sure it will. But it's strange to see how much Brubaker took from that. Calling out all of the different fighting styles and defensive styles. Pretty fascinating to read, but a really good read. Larry Hama right now is doing the art. Englehart is writing it, I believe. But soon it will be Claremont and Byrne, I believe. And so looking forward to it. Those epic collections are just freaking fantastic. I think the next thing up, I just finished another Spider-Man Marvel Masterworks. And right now I'm at the point where Romita is still doing covers and he's consulting on interiors, but the interiors are being done by various pool of artists, which aren't nearly as nice, but they're still darn good looking. All the art is very clean back in that era. So I think after Iron Fist, I will probably continue with Spider-Man Marvel Masterworks, which is always fun. It's always a treat to get back into that. I just can't wait until the Gil Kane issues. That'll be a fun one because I haven't read those in ages. Oh my God. I remember I used to buy Team Up and Amazing Spider-Man, Spectacular Peter Parker, and Marvel Tales.
Oh, tell me more.
Oh, I was just chit-chatting, filling space. I was discussing the items that I've been reading lately.
Oh, do tell.
So, no, I'm pretty much done.
Look, You were going to keep this in. You know I'm keeping this in.
Yeah, of course. That's why I was filling space.
Oh, okay, great.
But do you miss, because I truly miss, do you miss reprints? Individual single reprints. With the event of trades becoming so popular, reprints sort of have fallen by the wayside. And I was just discussing, I'm reading Marvel Masterworks Amazing Spider-Man, and I'm at the point where Romita has pretty much stopped, and he's still there as an innovator, but they bring in a pool of artists, and pretty much Romita barely is touching it. But I'm eagerly awaiting the Gil Kane issues.
Nice, yeah.
And what I was going to go into before you jumped on was I read the Gil Kane in Marvel Tales. And I so miss Marvel Tales. I miss – there was an X-Men reprint. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, God, I miss those individual – with brand new covers, but those individual reprint issues.
So you're not talking about like second printings though. You're talking about like down the line.
I'm talking about like Marvel Tales would be reprinting issue 70 when they're on issue 270.
Yeah. Okay. I gotcha.
Oh, yeah. It was so good.
So Marvel kind of still does that. Nobody buys them because I don't know if any retailers order them. But mm-hmm. they have the Marvel True Believers line.
Oh.
Which,
is that 99 cent stuff yeah. that you always see at local comic book stores? Yep. Yeah. There are tons of good ones. I actually bought one when I was, bin diving. I'm like, ooh, here's an Ant-Man issue I've never read. All right. I'll buy that for 99 cents. What the hell?
yeah, the True Believers line. I think they might be the only ones doing it. Cause like the Walmart DC books, like that doesn't really count. Like that's a whole different thing. You're just talking about like single issues,
but it's still great.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, I never even knew like back in the day when I was little, I never knew any of that stuff was reprints. No clue.
You know what I think the problem is? The problem is, because the market moved to direct market, you can just very easily just go bin diving and find back issues.
Yep.
So you don't really need to have that like new printing. You know what I mean?
No, you don't. But I would still buy that. I mean, like at the comic book store, I was still buying like Marvel Tales and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was just great. I don't know. I think it was just because it was brand new to me. Where now it's like, oh, go on to Comixology and the first 300 issues, or Marvel Unlimited, the first 500 issues of Captain America right there.
Mm.
Yeah, it's also easily accessible.
Yep. Yep.
That's it's all good. Shame. I just mentioned that I was reading my first Epic collection, which is Iron Fist. So.
Oh, nice.
And I can't believe how much Brubaker, no, Fraction aped the original series with all of his, like, here comes the monkey fist and the defensive, you know, dart shield.
So I don't own the essential Iron Fist. What's it collect?
It's the very beginning. It's like the Marvel premiere that he.
Oh, okay, cool.
That he was in. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's I think it's Englehart and Larry Hama drawing it.
Nice. Yeah.
And then it goes into Claremont and Byrne.
You know, I'm surprised like books like Iron Fist have lasted this long.
Mm-hmm.
Like back in the 70s when like Shang-Chi and Iron Man or Iron Fist was coming out, nobody bought those books.
Hey, I bought Shang-Chi. Get out of here.
All right. When I say nobody, I don't mean like people didn't buy them. I mean, they weren't hot sellers.
Oh, God, no. No, no, no.
So the fact that they survived this long is just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like, wasn't, Doug Mensch writing Shang-Chi? I think that's right.
I believe so.
So him and then Englehart on Iron Fist. It's just so weird. Like, I think they just had this deal worked out where, like, they were doing Marvel work or DC work, but it almost seems like part of their contract was like, I'll do this, but you let me work on this book that nobody wants to buy.
Yeah, I have a passion project and I want to work on X.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
And I don't think we see, like, really any of that in comics anymore.
I think you do.
You think so? Like, all right, name one.
I don't, Jason Aaron doing Doctor Strange.
All right.
I think that's Jason Aaron wanting to do Doctor Strange, not Marvel saying, hey, can you do Doctor Strange?
All right, fine. But those things are few and far between. Like,
it takes somebody like Jason Aaron. It takes Bendis to be like, I want to bring back the original X-Men.
Sure.
Well, what are you talking about? If I can fit it into modern times, can I bring back the original X-Men? Yeah, if you can do it.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, there's no way, an up and coming writer has that much leeway. No way.
No, not at all. Hmm.
Did you see my guy, Matthew Rosenberg, is coming to C2E2 this year?
Oh, is he?
Hell yeah.
Oh, I'm going to set up an interview then.
Hell yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read his Punisher yet?
Hell yeah.
The new one, not the War Machine Punisher, the new one.
No, back in New York.
Okay, good. What's the arc called? World War Punisher, is that right?
Yeah, maybe? Like War in Time, World War Punisher. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good.
It's a lot of fun. Remember we talked about the first issue and I did not like the art.
Right.
But boy, have I come around to it. Which is strange because you would think that the longer the book goes, the artist I would think would be pushed up against deadlines. Like the first issue, that should be your best work because you essentially could have as much time as you want.
Well,
supposedly.
No, that's actually an exception because Simon Kudrowski wasn't supposed to be the artist for this book.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was supposed to be somebody else. And it was like literally like 3 weeks before the book was scheduled to come out.
Then that totally makes sense for the first issue looking rushed.
Yeah.
Because from that point forward, it's been stellar.
Yeah, it's
the art has been fantastic.
It's great. That's a great book. When's the next issue come out? It'd be a while.
Yeah, I think 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Three just came out last week.
There you go.
Or 2 weeks ago. Yeah, so in 2 weeks. I really liked issue three. I had some problems with it because, Daredevil is really annoying.
What?
Yeah, I thought he was really annoying, but
they always have a great play back and forth, and I thought it was pitch perfect.
I get that, and it's definitely a callback to was the book just called like Punisher Daredevil?
That was one of them, yeah.
Okay, I thought so. So it was a good callback to that, but God, Daredevil pissed me off when I was reading the book, because I open it up. And like Frank's just trying to take care of business.
Hell yeah.
And Daredevil's like, dude, you can't kill people. And he's like, Frank's like, how do you think we're still here? Cause I'm killing these motherfuckers.
I love that he says no more killing, goes on top of the subway, beats up some ninjas up there, goes back down, maybe three or four, goes back down into the subway to the entire floor covered with ninjas. Like, I think a gun's a little bit more efficient than whatever you were doing up there.
Oh man. Yeah, the book's great. I've been trying to get Ronnie to read it. Maybe you have better luck.
I've tried, buddy. But don't forget, I loved War Machine Punisher too, so.
Sure. And I did too. But even though it's the same writer, this book feels like a real Punisher book. You know what I mean?
It feels like, Ennis.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, it feels like a classic Punisher book.
Yeah.
And
it feels like a Marvel Knights Punisher book.
Yeah. Yeah. Which yeah. I think maybe Ron is just kind of jaded because he didn't like the War Machine Punisher. And I understand why. But sure. Like it was cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a good change of pace.
And then Rosenberg did Multiple Man,
mm-hmm.
which Ronnie hated for some reason.
I've only read the first issue, and the first issue, it is on my list to pick up when that goes on sale.
It's really good. It's really yeah. good. But the thing
I'm
is, like,
forward to it.
It's funny, and it's fun, and it makes fun of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And Ronnie didn't want that because he genuinely loves Multiple Man, right? It's like one of his favorite X-Men.
Well, it's not Peter David's Multiple Man, that's for sure.
Right, and I think that's why he hates it. And so now we yeah. have, you know, he did that, and then Rosenberg did the War Machine Punisher, and so, you know, he's batting 0-2 for Ronnie.
And I get it.
But this book is really good.
Yeah, he definitely has Frank's voice down really well.
Yeah, yeah.
As well as all the other little threads that go through it, it's really, really fun.
So now that Moon Knight is over, and now that the Sentry is over,
mm-hmm.
I've got Punisher at tied for third on my Marvel list.
I'm hoping I know what your number one is, but what's one and two?
So number one is Immortal Hulk.
Hell yeah! Hell yeah!
Because I ain't no dummy. Immortal Hulk, and which is so weird, right? Like. And it's not just me and you saying this, but like I see it in our Discord chat, like a lot of people love it, or if they haven't tried it, when they try it, they love it.
I see non-Hulk fans trying it out of the blue.
I see it on Twitter all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
All the time. And it's crazy that like the Hulk would be the best Marvel book.
Yeah, the best gothic horror book Marvel's put out in ages. That's yeah. for darn sure.
Yep. Well, that's a separate story because Marvel hates putting out horror books for some reason. But they're
they have one right now.
They're putting out a really good one. Yep. All right. So that's number one. Number two.
And from Al Ewing.
Yeah. No kidding. Right.
Like not that he's a bad writer. He no. isn't certainly, but nothing has jumped off the rack. When it comes to him for me.
Well, I really liked Avengers No Surrender.
Correct. That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah.
But there were multiple writers in that. So I couldn't tell who's who. Who is influencing who?
Well, it was him and Mark Waid. I think Mark Waid just kind of like plotted and Ewing actually wrote it.
because, hey, whatever he did, did he go to some writing camp? Because he has picked up his writing completely. Like now I pay attention to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But you know, I hate weekly books and I've changed my mind after Avengers No Surrender. So
nice.
That says a lot, I think, to that book. But yeah, so Immortal Hulk is number one. X-23 is number two.
Wow.
It's so good. It is so good.
Who's the creative team?
Marika Tamaki, and I can't remember the artist.
Okay.
It is really good. And I'm a little jaded because partial. Because like the Stepford Cuckoos are in it. And you know, you know, me and Emma go back a long ways and the Cuckoos are there. But it is really good. It is really good. And I
liked it when it was all new Wolverine, when she was all new Wolverine.
So it's an extension of that. It's a continuation of that. Except now she's got her sister there with her.
I was going to say, is it the sister and the like, what is it, a squirrel or a woodchuck?
No, it's just the sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the sister's really good.
Oh, and I think that's what makes the book really good. Yeah. Because, what's her name? Laura, right? Laura Keeney? Mm-hmm. Laura is, she's a badass, but she's very dry, right?
Right.
Like, she's not an interesting person because...
And the sister is a young...
Yeah, she's babbling young, kid. Vibrant, funny as shit.
And babbles all the time. So it's a perfect way to infuse the story.
Yep, exactly. So X-23 is my number two. And then tied for number three is, the Punisher and Domino.
Wait, is this your top four for Marvel or period?
Just for Marvel. Just Marvel.
Okay. All right. Just for curious. Marvel.
And Domino is, Gail Simone.
I still have to read that.
Yeah, it's really good. It is really good.
You had me at Gail Simone.
I can't wait for the next issue because they teased, Blade in the last one that came out.
Ooh.
Cause Domino and her gang are, they get ambushed by vampires. And this guy watching in the distance, he's like, yeah, call Blade and whatever, somebody else. So Blade's gonna show up. I'm sure Morbius might show up.
Nice. Some Morbius.
Awesome. Dude. All right. Back in the 90s, Morbius was literally my shit.
Back in the 80s, Morbius was our shit.
Yeah,
are you kidding
I guess
me?
So. I guess it does go that far back.
He has a dated costume, but he was always kick ass and cool.
No, dude, it's not dated. It's a fucking, it's an updated Dracula costume. It's right, perfect.
But there are dated elements to it.
Oh,
but
sure.
What I'm saying is it's damn perfect.
Yep.
Yeah. Ah, so good.
I got to think of, what's my DC list? I have to think about that. I hadn't even thought about that in a while.
Really?
Yeah, because Deathstroke used to be at the top, but I don't know if it is anymore.
What about Red Hood?
Ooh, yeah.
Okay.
Red Hood.
Can we just put Green Lantern up there, even if you haven't read it yet?
All right, I've already read it.
All right,
it is brilliant.
The
art is, I saw Ronnie talking about the art.
Yeah, Liam Sharp.
I also have never been a huge Liam Sharp fan.
Same here, but I like Pat Olaf on colors.
Absolutely. Pat's a fantastic colorist. Mm-hmm. I've never been a big Liam Sharp fan. And it does look rough in some panels. But the thing is, Nick, I think it's on purpose. Because there's something about this book that really feels like very Silver Age-y. Right? And so as a result, I think Liam Sharp's art is perfect for that because he does have that more old school, bald lines, kind of unfinished look to it. And it really works. I think it's still too early to tell. I don't know if you saw the message I put out that, I said something to the effect of this mother effer, Grant Morrison, he wrote 12 issues of Green Lantern in like 2 days.
Really?
Which is literally what happened. So apparently, Dan Didio was pitching him a book and he's like, look, I don't have time to do comics full time again. I don't want to do an ongoing series. And Dan like talked to him about it again. He's like, no, I just don't have time. And apparently Grant Morrison went home and he started thinking about it. And like between that night and the next day, he wrote like 12 issues of the story and he called Dan Didio and he's like, all right, I'm fucking sold. I'm doing Green Lantern. Yeah.
The only problem with your story is in between the going home and writing 12 issues. Somewhere in there should be, and went out and bought cocaine.
Probably.
To stay up, and then he wrote 12 issues.
Or he did like a magical incantation.
Yes.
He performed some sex magic.
Right.
And,
read Invisibles, you'll understand.
By the way, did you hear?
I did hear. Why do you think I brought it up, my friend?
We need to do a book club. Like, do you remember the book?
There's so much to remember. That's the problem. You, even if you remember 50% of it, the other 50% that you forgot is still uber vital. And like, damn it, I wish I wouldn't have forgot that.
All right.
You just want to close it in your head.
If I led the discussion, would it trigger your memory enough to talk about it?
Sure.
All right. We can try this. I'm going to talk to Andrew. Andrew Shaw, writer of, Cul-de-sac.
Nice.
Because, he's been reading it.
Oh. Because look at you too.
I was talking about it, so he started reading it. So if we can work out a time where the three of us can get together.
First time voyage for both of you?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. I wish I had it. I wish I had that. Damn.
I think it could be fun.
You know, the only, honest to God, sure, I need to read old DC Western, old DC war comic books. I get it. Those are, hey, they're bucket list items. But the one series that I'm like, dang, I wish I would have, I'm holding on to finally be able to read is Transmetropolitan.
Wait, you never read it?
Correct. That's the one bucket list. Yes. That's the one bucket list item that I've purposely like, I haven't even started it because I don't want to read just one volume. I want to read the entire thing.
No, yeah, you got to read the whole thing.
Yeah. But it's exciting. It's like, shoot, how could you not like that writer and that artist? Oh my God. And it's done by them the entire way through. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's going to be a treat.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you do in Invisibles. Like you can't beat the first time. You always remember the first time.
Wait, so when are you starting this?
I have so much to read right now. I'm like 2 years behind a digital
purchase. Tell me, give me, I'm assuming you at least have some notion of what you're reading. So tell me like what's coming up on Nick's list? Like what are the next five things you're going to be reading?
Right now I'm working I own all of the Amazing Spider-Man Marvel Masterworks.
Nice.
I'm working through that. At the same time, I'm working through Scalped.
Mm.
At the same time, I'm working through Morrison's Doom Patrol.
Wait, question?
Yeah.
Hello, first time caller. First time reading Scalped?
No.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, I've read Scalp.
And then Doom Patrol? You've read that before?
I've read that before, but only when it was first coming out in floppies.
Got it. Okay. Ooh, yikes. That's a long time ago.
I know, and it's so exciting.
Nice. So, hell yeah.
Yeah, so I have quite a few large runs I have to get through. But it's exciting. Just like I find, as soon as I saw that first Invisibles trade hit my like reading queue, I was like, oh, I got to read the entire series now.
Mm.
I can't just read one and then go back to other books. That, like, that series is in my queue until it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
I might pop back and forth. I'm not going to read like all of Scalped back to back to back. No, sure. I jump around a little. Hence the Iron Fist Epic Collection. So
hell yeah.
Yeah. And what's very close on the horizon, because, you know, whenever I choose to download my books, I always see like the things that I purchased that I haven't downloaded yet, you know, a month later in my queue. And I can already see on the horizon all those Wildstorm books that I picked up.
Funny you should mention that, because the first thing on my list is the Wildstorm number 18, which I haven't read yet.
Ooh.
But I'm very happy the book is back, because, you know, it took like a 2-month hiatus.
I know. Is that still in your top three?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. This is the final arc.
Oh, God. I just want to cry.
Yep. Last six issues.
Damn it.
Last six issues. So, all right, here's what's at the top of my, my reading list of my trades.
Mm.
So Harold, Lovecraft and Tesla, volume 3.
Mm.
By the way, you gotta read that shit. It's fucking awesome. It is Nikola Tesla and H.P. Lovecraft, going on like mystery quests.
Jeez.
It's fantastic. Nightmare World, Volume 1. It's a horror anthology.
Wow.
Irredeemable, Volume 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, buddy, tell me when you start that. I might have to pick that up. I have both of the omnibuses. I might have to just preemptive strike and go into those instead. That's a book club book.
That is a book club. God, it's so good.
Mm.
Oh shit, I gotta add the rest of this. Okay, I'll add the rest. I think there's what, 6 or 7 volumes?
6, 7.
Alright. Umbrella Academy, Volume 1.
Oh, that's a good read.
Vigilantes, Volume 1.
Vigilante?
Yeah, Vigilantes. Not Vigilante.
Not the DC character.
Not the DC character. This is, I wanna say it's a European book.
Hmm.
Written by Jean-Charles Godin. My French is terrible.
Oui, oui.
Art by Ricardo Crosa. Colors by Stéphane Poitron. And translated by Edward Gauvin. The United States nowadays, when William Peter Stahl, a famous politician, announces his aid to participate in the presidential race, four childhood friends recall their promise. For these four know this man. They are the only ones who know the horrors that he committed more than 30 years ago. Getting in touch with each other, they plan to go back to where it all started and stop this man who is the embodiment of evil. They have to revive their old secret superhero group, the Vigilantes.
Ooh. Who turned you on to that?
I somehow found it on Comixology.
Nice.
It's put out by Delcourt Press. Dude, the cover is awesome. The character looks like Superman. Except the cover is, it's a doll of Superman, just like thrown on the ground, like bleeding.
Hmm.
So you see, and it's like an actual doll, like you have the joints on the knees and the elbows and stuff. It's awesome.
It's like an Amigo.
Yeah, kind of. Alright. So Vigilantes Volume 1. Then I've got, I'm doing a reread of the Predator Omnibus. then I've got Zombies Ate the World, Volume 1, Helheim, Volume 1, Creepy, Volume 1,
Jeez.
The Darkness, Volume 1.
Are these all on Comixology Unlimited?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Oh, nice.
Criminal Macabre, Number 1, or Volume 1. Durfleur, Number 1. I don't even know what that is anymore. That's been on my list for a while. That's why I had to read it.
Dang, you got a lot.
Oh, dude, I've got, on my unlimited, I've got 50 books on my borrowed list.
Mm.
I also have a spreadsheet. Matter of fact, let me pull that up.
Oh, boy. Can you only have 50 on your borrowed list?
Yeah, you can only have 50 on your borrowed list.
Of course. So you max that out.
I've got, let's see, is there a total here? Nope. God damn it. I gotta like put formulas in the spreadsheet. All right, I've got 74 other trades on this to read spreadsheet.
Jeez. Oh my god, how are you ever gonna get to your physical trades?
That's from Unlimited
with all this stuff like queued up.
Yeah, yeah. Let me pull up my other spreadsheet here with my physical trades. This includes, by the way, like Kickstarters and just regular trades.
The stuff that you bought 2 years ago at C2E2, that's included too.
Yeah.
We know you haven't got to them.
No, yet. I haven't read those either.
Yeah, of course not. Jesus Christ.
Except one of them, because I already had the floppies. Let's see. I gotta start putting formulas in these fucking sheets. I can't be counting stuff. All right. Physical trades is 111.
Oh my God. Dude. When are you going to start reading those physical trades? Do you at least have one in the bidet room so you can at least enjoy that while you're bidetting?
You don't do
long poos.
No, so. I don't do long poos. But I do have a BPRD in the bathroom.
Nice.
Yeah, but nice. I've already read it, so it's not like whatever. It's just
throw it in your purge pile.
If it's taking too long, I just like pop open BPRD.
Nice.
Yeah. So trades, that means I have like close to 200 trades, on my to read.
Criminy.
But I am 100% caught up on my floppies.
That is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that. That is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So this weekend coming up, mm-hmm. what are you going to be tackling?
So this weekend coming up is, North Carolina Comic Con.
Oh no. Oh my.
Which I did not planning on attending.
Mm-hmm.
But Reagan wants to go.
Nice.
But I'm working half a day.
Yeah.
And I don't want to drive 4 hours to Raleigh.
Sure, sure.
So, my wife might get stuck going, which will be interesting because my wife hates comic books.
Would you stay overnight in Raleigh?
Oh, no. Dude, I'm so tired. I don't want to stay overnight anywhere.
I don't know. Why don't you take her on Sunday then?
I don't even want to drive to Raleigh.
Of course. I understand you want to drag your feet. Is there any good artists there? Artist writers?
Dude, I'm not going to lie to you. I hadn't even looked at the program.
Oh, man.
I know that what the hell's his name? Fuck.
Lou Ferrigno.
The guy that wrote Fight Club.
Lou Ferrigno.
No.
Chuck Palahniuk.
That's him. He's going to be there.
Yes. Oh, brother.
Well, as you know, Fight Club is one of my all-time favorite movies, so that'd be cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Man. You can get Fight Club number 3.
Yeah, Fight Club number 3.
Signed.
Yeah. I've never read the books, by the way.
Yeah, I've never read. I got a teaser copy of Fight Club 2, number 1, and never read it.
Oh, interesting.
Pretty David Mack art on the cover.
Oh, is it? But mm-hmm. what, just the covers, though?
I think so.
Yeah, whatever.
I just, that's a story that was told on celluloid, and that's as far as I need to go.
I see.
Yes.
I see. I think I'm getting like, what's that winter disease called? Like, not the flu. I don't feel sickly.
Winter blues?
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like, that tickle in my throat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that sounds like tomorrow. Sick day. Hell yeah, brother. Time to catch up on some of those physical floppies. Physical trades. Yeah, I like the sound of this. Mm-hmm. I endorse that.
Let's see who the guests are. Don't know you. I don't know any of these people right now. Oh, Chad Bowers, but he comes here. I don't need to go see him.
Mm-hmm.
Becky Cloonan, that's cool.
That is cool.
Sean Crystal, Tommy Lee Edwards, he comes here.
Ooh.
Matt Kent. I hadn't seen him in a while.
Mm-hmm.
John Layman, Jeff Lemire.
Dang.
Jin Mahfood, but he comes here too.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Perkins. James Robinson. Fuck.
Damn it.
Now I have to go.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Get in there. Get in there.
Why did I look at this website?
You're the best.
Damn it. So if I talk to James Robinson about Starman for like 4 hours, mm-hmm. number one, will he call the police? Yes. Number two, will my kids disown me?
Will your kids walk away and go somewhere else? Yes. But you should talk to him about jazz. That's what I would talk to him about.
Damn it. Venditti's going to be there. Fuck. All right. Maybe I'll go. I'll think about it.
Yeah. Come on.
Oh, Valiant's got a booth. Now I have to go to see this booth.
Oh. Is it like a Kool-Aid stand with a handwritten sign?
Dude, they always have the best booths. And since they got taken over by that Chinese company, it's just the shittiest booths.
Yeah. Or they're sharing the booth.
Oh yeah. Or that.
Yes.
So sad.
Yep.
So sad. Oh my God, Nick.
I don't, that's a real pain in the ass if you have to work a half day. Yeah, unless you go on Sunday, but even Sunday, then it's like, sure, you can do a whole day. Then by the time you get back after that 4 hour drive and then go right into work, oh, give me a break.
Dude, that's what I told my wife. She's like, so are you working tomorrow? I said, or Saturday? I said, yeah, half a day. She's like, so am I taking Reagan to the con? And I was like, wait, the con's this weekend? And she's like, yeah. Oh. I said, fuck, why didn't nobody tell me this?
Yeah, I mean, four people quit.
So I don't know, man. Like, I want to go, but like I told her, I'm so fucking tired. And not only do I have to drive 4 hours each way,
mm-hmm.
but to go to, like, cons are exhausting.
Hell yeah.
Exhausting.
You're already dad of the year. It's like, guess what? Sometimes you gotta tap out.
Dude, I had to go to a freaking football game tonight.
What?
That I didn't even know about. So, you know, Zoe's cheerleading.
Oh, wow. That's how that happened. Okay.
Yeah, Zoe's cheerleading. So I've been to like 80% of the games.
Sure.
Which has sucked very much because mm-hmm. I'm working long hours. And have to drive literally to the other side of town, mm-hmm. like two counties over, because they live like 30 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
And because they live 30 minutes away, the region of teams that they play can be as far away as an hour from me.
Oof.
But I've been there because she enjoys it,
mm-hmm.
and she wants me to show up, and I show up because I'm a good dad.
Yep. You want to support.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And watching 10-year-olds play football is absolutely terrible.
Oh, I've been there, done that. They might as well be chasing butterflies.
Yeah. But you know, but yeah, they have a girl quarterback. She's freaking good as shit.
Nice.
She is really good. Anyway.
The only one paying attention.
Well, her dad's the coach.
There you go. That's why she's paying attention.
Yeah. So Zoe's been cheerleading the whole time. And 2 weeks ago, they had their final game. And, afterwards, we had to go to like their award ceremony and like uh-huh. the cheerleading banquet and this, that, and sure. the other. It was like an all day thing. I was exhausted from all this cheerleading stuff.
Yeah.
But I did it because I'm a good yeah, dad.
For sure.
And she wanted me there. And we had a good time too. Cause like, we got to the banquet early, so we left. We went and walked around the Publix, and we bought pumpkins for Halloween, and then we went to the gas station and got candy for Zoe, and then we washed my car at the car wash, and it was great. but anyway, long day, and they had terrible pizza. They had Domino's pizza that was absolute garbage, and not good garbage. It was bad garbage.
Yeah.
But anyways, so the season was over.
All right, I need you to rank them.
Yeah. Pizza
Domino's, Domino's, Papa John's, Pizza Hut.
Papa John's, Pizza Hut, Domino's.
So out of those three, Papa John's is the best out of those three.
Yeah, except I don't eat at Papa John's anymore because Papa John is a racist son of a bitch.
Agreed.
So there's that.
Sorry. Continue.
All right. So their season was done.
Mm-hmm.
So I get home tonight, 6 o'clock. I've been at work since 7 o'clock this morning.
Amen.
I've had one day off in the past 12 days.
Whew, Jesus Christ.
I've worked 75-hour weeks for the past 2 weeks.
Yep.
I get home. I sit down. I'm ready to relax. And I get a phone call. Hey, we're on the way to a football game. Zoe's got to be there because they're playing a playoff game. Apparently, the team did really well at the end of the season.
Shit.
So they made it to the playoffs.
Fucking playoff game.
And she wants you to be there. And I said, listen, I've worked 75-hour weeks. I literally just sat down as my phone rang. I haven't had a day off in 12 days. Is this like the only game? And she says, well, if they win tonight, they're going to have two more games because they're in the playoffs. But the game is at, right behind Woodmont High School, which Woodmont High School is 8 miles down the road from my house.
Mm.
So I said to myself, self, you can't just not go. It is literally a 10-minute drive
where
the entire season you've been driving 45 minutes to an hour to get there.
Correct.
So I feel obliged to go.
And your daughter would love it if you were there.
Of course.
Even though in your head you're probably like, didn't we already go to an awards banquet? What the fuck? Done.
So I'm like, all right, I will go to the game, but I'm only going to go for like 45 minutes. Because I'm exhausted and I want to just relax and I'm supposed to record a podcast and that's my zen time. That's my therapy time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay, that's fine. Like she just wants you to show up. So I said, cool. So I went and she was very happy to see me.
That makes it all worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Number one, she was in a great mood because she's got green all week. So she hasn't been in trouble all week.
Good.
So she's in a good mood for that. The whole team is in a good mood because their coach couldn't make it. Their coach is like a senior in high school.
Mm.
their coach couldn't make it. So they were all in a great mood because they were able to pick all their own cheers. So they were literally cheering like 10 times louder than I've ever heard them cheer.
Sure.
Because like they were making their own decisions.
As well as doing the same cheer over and over again because they love two or three certain ones.
Oh, no. Hell? Well, they do love certain ones.
Of course.
But they know like 30 different cheers and they were really good about not picking the same cheer every time.
That's awesome.
So I show up and my ex is there with her husband and I said hi to them and Zoe saw me and she came running and gave me a hug. And we chatted for a little bit and it was cold as shit. It's like in the 40s right now. And I didn't even bring a jacket cause I don't wear a jacket. I don't think I even own a jacket. So I'm out there in like my polo shirt and, slacks just like watching this game in 40 degree weather. And,
God.
But it was fine. It was fine. And she was excited that I was there. So that's all that really mattered. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Except now I probably have to go to two more games for some reason.
Oh, they won?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. It sounds like you're coming down with a cold, Martin. You might not be able to make it into work tomorrow.
Dude, I'm telling you, I feel that itch in my throat, man. I've been feeling it for like a couple days.
Let that itch happen, buddy.
Oh, trust me. I am.
Good. I am. But, I like it. I wish I could join you.
But yeah, so I went to that. That was interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Put a little gold star in the Father of the Year book. What the hell?
Yeah. And she was excited because I'm going to pick her up tomorrow and we're going to get barbecue. We're going to get some ribs.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Celebrate that green book.
Yeah. My wife texted me today. She's like, we should go get ribs tonight. And I was like, let's just wait till tomorrow. I'll pick Zoe up. I'll go get ribs. And she's like, but tomorrow's Friday. I'm going to be so tired.
And doesn't ribs sound really good tonight?
Yeah. And I was like, listen, I've just worked 12 days straight. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
If I can make it, you can make it one more day. We'll just go tomorrow.
Exactly. Check your Wendy's app. Find out that there's a double stack buy one, get one. That's what I'll bring home.
Mm-hmm. So, so she and Reagan went to Aldi's to get groceries. Cause I don't step foot in that place. Fuck that place. And I went to go see Zoe's game and it was good. But tomorrow I'm going to get some ribs and it's going to be delightful.
And you're taking a sick day.
Maybe. We'll see.
Come on.
We'll see.
Come on.
I'm not eating until, tomorrow afternoon. So I'm going to load up on the ribs.
Sheesh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
All right, let's wrap this up, Nick. It's about midnight in my time.
It's getting there for me too. So
we should let the folks know that we are going to be at C2E2 2019.
Yeah.
Not only will we be there, but there's a giant list of Nerdy Legion podcasters that will also be there because we all got approved for press passes. So that'll be interesting because, even people we've never seen there before will be there, like Aaron Bell. Travis is going to be there. Joey and Bill from the podcast will be there.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting.
Ronnie Barron.
Well, Ronnie's always there.
I know, but I like saying his name. Dewan.
Dewan will be there.
Unless he's with child.
So me and Nick will be there. Dewan will be there. Jay, Dennis, Joey, Bill, Aaron, Justin Ehart. Shane from the Timey Wimey podcast.
Yeah.
Will be there. Travis from the Aftershock Central. Cullen Bunn and Dennis Hopeless will be there.
Very exciting.
They didn't get press passes. They got, creator passes.
yeah.
But
they actually have a job.
Yeah, they actually have a job. But since they do podcasts, they could have technically gotten press passes, I guess. So it'll be good. And also Mike Myers will be there. And Barbara Myers will be there.
Oh.
And of course, the Wonderland himself, Bill Bummer, will be there.
Oh, dreamboat.
So, it's going to be a big, Nerd Legion party where, Ronnie and I are working on this panel thing. Ronnie really wants to do a panel. Nick just wants to listen.
Can't wait to hear it.
So we'll see. There might be a Nerd Legion panel. You know what would be cool, Nick? If it's just me and you getting drunk and talking on stage for 3 hours.
No, that would not be cool.
It'll be like a live episode.
That would be – my head would explode. It would melt. So,
yeah.
No, that wouldn't be good.
You know what we should do? We should just do like an open bar episode on stage.
Dude. We've been talking for the last 2 years about recording in our hotel room. Has that ever happened yet?
No. Yes.
No.
The very first episode was recorded in our hotel room and then I passed out. There's a famous picture of me passed out.
I know. I did listen to it. It was good. But we need to step up the quality. Let's put it that way.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll all of Nerdy Legion will be at C2E2. So if you listen to this podcast, then you should come hang out at C2E2 2019. I think it's the last weekend of, or the second to last weekend. What is it? March 22nd? 23rd?
Sounds about right.
Something like that. Just go to the C2E2 website, C2E2.com, and you'll have the dates. And you can come hang out with all of us. You can't stay in our hotel room, but, we'll hang out with you.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
Come see panels with us.
Absolutely. It'd be awesome. That's it. You can find Nick at Nick Webmore on Twitter. I'm at Geekvine. The show is at Nerd Legion. We'll be back, on the next one. Maybe next week. Maybe the week after. It's a secret. We can't tell you.